In this demo, Peter Myers is going to show us how to develop a simple cube for analyzing sales data with SQL Server 2008 R2 analysis services.
In this demonstration, I'll create a simple analysis services 2008 R2 cube using the Cube Wizard. So in Solution Explorer, we see I have the AdventureWorks BI solution. I have added an analysis services project called Sales Analysis. And the starting point then is to create a data source. And this data source will create a connection to the AdventureWorks data warehouse. So the data source wizard then guides me through the process of defining the connection to the AdventureWorks data warehouse. And so it's already been cached due to a previous demonstration. And when I click Next, some additional information is the identity that will be used to query or connect to that data source. And so for the purpose of this demonstration, I will use this service account. And then I'll accept the default name for that data source. Now, when building cubes and the dimensions that form the cube, they're never built directly off the data source. What we do is we build an object called a data source view that really is a virtual schema upon which the dimensions and cubes are based. So the next step then is to add the data source view. And the wizard here asks for the selection of a data source and then presents to me all of the tables and views that I have in that data source. And so my selection will be for producing an internet sales cube is that I need customer. I have a view for date, so I won't use the date dimension. I have geography. I have a snowflake dimension from category to subcategory to product. And then I have the fact internet sales. And then finally, I have a view that has already prepared my date for me. So I then add these across to the included objects list, and then I click Next, and I provide a name for the data source view. The wizard then reads the metadata that describes the tables, columns, data types, relationships, and keys, and then it produces this data source view for me. So what we can do here, first of all, is that we can rename the objects. Rather than calling them the base name that they've come from, we have a friendly name property that allows us to clean up the names in preparation for delivering an end-user friendly model. So let's remove these prefixes of dim and fact. And in fact, I'm going to make these shorter. Instead of product subcategory, subcategory will suffice. And then I have my internet sales, and then I have date. Now note here that the date table sits orphaned. It really needs to be related to the fact table. So I can create a relationship by dragging the order date key on top of the date key. Right click, arrange the tables, and we can navigate across the schema if necessary. And now we're ready to go ahead and build our cube. So right-click on the Cubes folder, New Cube, and then we have the Cube Wizard. And we're going to create the cube based off this data source view, so I select the existing tables option. For this data source view, it then asks, what tables contain our measures? And the tables then will become measure groups. We only have one, it's our fact table for internet sales. And then the next step in the wizard presents to us all of the numeric columns that are not involved in relationships, and it is up to us then to determine whether they will become measures in this measure group. All right, I am going to keep this quite minimal for this demonstration. I'll deselect everything, but specifically I'm after order quantity, the total product cost and sales amount. And typical considerations you give here is, does it make sense to aggregate the measures up the hierarchies of the dimensions? So typically measures like sales amount will be additive, that they can be summed. The next step then says, well, the data source view says there are related tables to the measure group table, and it can automatically create dimensions for us. So I'm only going to have some dimensions created, because a later demonstration, I'll go ahead and create product. But I'll be happy that it creates customer, and note the snowflake with the relationship to geography and date, but the fact table I do not wish it to create a dimension of. The default name for the cube then is the data source view that it's named after, so I'll accept that and I'll click Finish. It then creates the cube, adds it to the project, and then opens up the cube designer. So we now see on the cube structure tab the data source view, which is now color-coded, with blue for dimension and yellow for measure group. Here in the left corner we have the measures, and my preference here is to show them in grid so we get to see the three. And measures can be defined by aggregate function, with the most common being sum and then count. We have min, max, distinct count, and some more advanced aggregations, typically for semi-additive scenarios. The reason I like grid layout is that I can multi-select. And the format string property here in my properties window allows me to provide a format string for formatting the results that are sent back to the clients. To save space, I switch that back to tree view. So we can see that our cube consists of measures, in fact these three, and two dimensions, customer and date. So the browser tab, the last tab on the cube designer, allows us to explore the cube. And at this stage, we need to appreciate that our effort has been in producing these data sources, data source view and cube, which essentially are documents sitting on the developer workstation. We need to deploy the project to the server and have it processed before we can start to browse. So before I do that, I come to my project properties and I ensure here in the deployment section that I have the appropriate server name. The database that it creates will be named after the project and you can overwrite it. So now I right-click the project and I deploy. And in doing so, Visual Studio takes the definitions, generates a script, transmits it to the server, which validates and instantiates the objects and then processes to produce a queryable cube. Now that requires me and the designer to use this toolbar button to reconnect to get the latest definition. And now we have this querying experience, which is really for the developer to test the cube. You cannot deliver this to end users. I can expand my measures and measure group. I can introduce a measure like sales amount, and then I can start to slice it. And when I introduce date key, we get to see by particular dates what the sales were. So what we need to appreciate here is that when you build a cube using the cube wizard and you have the dimensions created at the same time, those dimensions will consist of very minimal information, essentially the primary keys involved in the table or tables that form the dimension. This is usually not a recommended approach to building cubes, but for this demonstration, it's a good starting point. In the following demonstrations, we'll look at enriching and refining the definition of these dimensions and building a product dimension using the dimension wizard.